Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Obituaries for Saturday, December 12th. David Stephen Royall. David Stephen Royall was born May 4th, 1953, to Dan Ed Royall and Norma Odessa Royall in Abilene. He passed away December 5th. A celebration of his life will be held at Frank Wilson Funeral Home at 10 a.m. Monday, December 14th, with burial to follow at Sunset Memorial Garden. A public viewing and remembrance will be held at Frank Wilson Funeral Home Sunday, December 13th, from 2 to 4 p.m. Family will not be present, but would love for his friends to come by and tell him goodbye. David was a kidney transplant survivor, and his family will forever be grateful to his donor, Aaron Zapata, and his family for this selfless gift of life. Surviving David are his mother, Norma Hambrick of Abilene, big sister, Linda Royall of Tulsa, Oklahoma and Washington, D.C., baby sister, Karen Hale of Abilene, his wife, Sharon, and their children, daughter Mary and husband Sheldon Adcock, son Stephen Royall and wife Sharon Marie, daughter Kristen O'Donnell and son Cody O'Donnell and wife Alicia, as well as a host of nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, and cousins. He is also survived by 4 grandchildren. He is preceded in death by a grandson, Brendan O'Donnell, his father, Dan Ed Royall, stepfather Jack Hambrick, brother-in-law Tommy Hale, and many others. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to the Methodist Transplant Hospital in San Antonio or Grace Christian Fellowship in Odessa. Betty Jane Strickland. Betty Jane Vaughn Strickland passed away after a long battle with Alzheimer's December 5th at 90 years of age in Tomball. She was born in Teague at her grandmother's farm, August 14, 1930, to James Dixon and Mary Lee Glanton Vaughn. Betty married John Strickland in 1952. She was mother to John Allen Strickland and Mary Ann Strickland Dugan, who both preceded her in death. She is survived by a sister, Charlene Bowden, and sister and husband, Mary and Arthur Carpenter, as well as 6 nieces and a nephew. A memorial service is pending and will be announced at a later date. Larry Don Wilhelm. Larry Don Wilhelm, 67, of Imperial, passed away Monday, December 7th. He was born December 17th, 1952, in Breckenridge to Bud and Joyce Wilhelm. Larry is preceded in death by his parents and a niece. He is survived by his wife, Hope, brother Danny Wilhelm and wife, Becky, a nephew, and a great niece. Graveside services will be conducted at the Imperial Cemetery in Imperial at 1 p.m. Monday, December 14th. Visit harkeyfunerals.com to sign the guest book or leave a personal for the family. Death notices. Terry Lynn Russell. Terry Lynn Russell, 58, died Friday, December 11th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Crystal Ann Ariza. Crystal Ann Ariza, 31, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 6th. A funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Monday, December 14th at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Interment will follow at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery with Pastor Pete Landa officiating. Daphne Marie Jackson. Daphne Marie Jackson, 40, of Odessa, died Saturday, November 28th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, December 13th, 2020. Section A. Runoff decision coming this Tuesday. Didn't vote early? Get to the polls on election day in local races. Tuesday will decide the makeup of the Odessa City Council. Keep many of the same names or add new ones? The answer is coming as City of Odessa residents head to the polls for the final time of 2020. Early voting ended Friday with 4,015 early or absentee votes that will be added to Tuesday's election day totals, with three hot runoffs for mayor and two city council seats on the line. It's been a brutal race locally, with former District 2 Councilman Dewey Bryant and Javier Hoven competing to succeed Mayor David Turner as mayor of Odessa, as the city struggles through both COVID-19 and oil and gas woes. Both Turner and Bryant have termed out of their current seats and are seeking other city offices. Hoven is a former councilman in District 5 from 1996 to 1999, who resigned prior to the end of his term. He later ran in 2010, but lost to Dean Combs. Turner and Denise Swanner are seeking the at-large council seat, while the District 1 race is between Mark Mata and appointed incumbent Michael K. Shelton Sr. Shelton was appointed earlier in the year by the City Council after Councilman Malcolm Hamilton abruptly resigned. The runoff election was called because candidates failed to garner 50% of the vote plus one, which is required to be declared the winner. Bryant received 43% of the vote and Hoven sneered 40% of the vote during the November 3rd general election. In the at-large council race, Turner claimed 45% of the vote and Swanner garnered 29%. Turner has served two terms as mayor, and Swanner is a newcomer to local politics. In District 1, Mata picked up 44% of the vote, and Shelton received 19%. Mata also is a political newcomer. Only Odessan Steve Thompson won his race in November when he defeated Rachel Miner for the District 2 seat. Thompson received 55% of the vote, Miner 45%. City of Odessa residents who live in Midland County must vote at the Odessa Country Club No. 1 Fairway Drive on Election Day. Election Day locations in Odessa will include the Globe Theater at Odessa College, Salinas Community Building, and First Church of the Nazarene Gymnasium. Voting hours will be 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Quick hits. Free COVID-19 testing and flu shots. The City of Odessa, in partnership with the Odessa Regional Medical Center, are offering free COVID-19 testing and free flu shots to City of Odessa and Ector County residents. Free mobile COVID testing has been scheduled starting at 10 a.m. at the following dates and locations. Lining up starts at 8:30 a.m. Monday, UTPB Park. Tuesday, JC Playgrounds. December 18th, Far West Events Center. December 21st, Central Park. December 22nd, Buddy West Elementary. December 28th, Sherwood Park. December 30th, UTPB Park. Only 200 tests will be available at each event for City of Odessa and Ector County residents. First come, first serve. Residents must show proof of residency and provide good contact information, phone number, and email in order to get results. Children as young as 3 years old are eligible for testing. Along with the free mobile COVID-19 testing events, participating MCH and ORMC community clinics will be offering daily free COVID-19 testing and flu shots. Daily drive-through testing at Floyd Gwynn Park will also be available from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, and is open to anyone over the age of 5, not limited to city or county residents. The tests are free to everyone, but those who have insurance are asked to please present their insurance card. To pre-register for tests, anyone can go to www.doxhealthtesting.com or call 267-362-5207. ORMC will continue to offer free COVID-19 testing and flu shots through mobile testing events and at its ORMC Community Health Center through the end of the year or until supplies run out. Appointments are preferred. For more information, call ORMC at 582-8549. Visit https://tx-odessa.civicplus.com/341-COVID-19-testing. The Nutcracker. Midland Festival Ballet will present its 27th annual production of The Nutcracker to the big screen with a special produced locally by Film Hunter Media and sponsored by DBAT Permian Basin and the Arts Council of Midland. The Nutcracker Reimagined is a film retelling the story of Clara and the Nutcracker. Featuring 50 local dancers and narration by everyone's favorite character, Herr Drosselmeyer, this holiday classic is a treat for all ages. Join the ballet for a fun-filled journey with three options to see the show. Under the Stars at the Big Sky Drive-In, 7:30 p.m., December 18th. Tickets are $10 for ages 6 and older and free for children ages 0 to 5. Wear your coziest attire or dress to impress. Stream anytime, anywhere, December 20th through 31st. Streaming tickets are $30. Watch on Basin PBS at 8:30 p.m. December 23rd. Tickets are available online at www.midlandfestivalballet.org. For more information, call Rachel Kerr Ritter at 818-2615 or email rkerr@midlandfestivalballet.org. Obituaries for Sunday, December 13th. Jan Maynard, Longview. Jan Ann Adams Maynard was born August 10th, 1954. She passed away December 7th in Longview after a long and courageous battle with Alzheimer's. Jan was preceded in death by her parents, Marion Adams and Ruth Haddow Adams. She is survived by her son, Kenneth Maynard, and his wife, Amanda, four grandchildren, her sisters, Kathy Cogdell and Christina Reyes, and brothers, Michael Adams and Wes Brownfield. Jan's life will be celebrated in a memorial service Monday, December 14th at 11 a.m. at Raider Funeral Home in Longview. Family and friends may gather for a visitation before the service at 10 a.m. If you wish to donate a memorial to Jan in lieu of flowers, donations to Hearts Way Hospice, 4351 McCann Road, Longview, 75605, or the Great Texas Balloon Race Soft Winds Fund, Post Office Box 3988, Longview, 75606, would be her choices. The service will be live streamed through her obituary page at raiderfh.com. Danny Ray Yandrich. Danny Ray Yandrich, 76, of Odessa, passed away December 6th in Mansfield. A graveside service will be held at 3 p.m. Tuesday, December 15th at Sunset Memorial Gardens with Donald Bug of Life Change Church officiating. Danny was born in Childress to Emil and Rita Yandrich, December 6th, 1944. He married Lana Jean McCollum in 1965. He is preceded in death by his father, Emil Yandrich, his mother, Rita Yandrich. He is survived by his wife, Lana Jean Yandrich, son, Michael Yandrich, daughter, Lori, and husband, Weldon Thompson of Mansfield, brother, David Yandrich, and wife, Deborah of Snyder, three grandchildren, a brother-in-law, John McCollum, and wife, Linda of Odessa, as well as nieces and nephews. Memorials may be given to West Texas Gifts of Hope. odessa.hopehouse@gmail.com, 432-614-9284. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Peggy Lou Robertson Schumard. Peggy Lou Robertson Schumard, 81, of Odessa, passed away Wednesday, December 9th, after a battle with Parkinson's disease. Funeral services will be held Tuesday, December 15th at 1 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel with Reverend Jimmy Pena officiating. She was born October 5th, 1939, in Bryan County, Oklahoma, to Walter and Ruby Robertson. She married Donald Wayne Schumard in Lovington, New Mexico in 1959. She is survived by her husband of 61 years, Don Schumard, her son and daughter-in-law, Dennis and Flair Schumard, her daughter and son-in-law, Cindy and Robert Kager, and one grandson. She is also survived by two sisters, Pat Race and Beth Springer, a brother, Alvin Robertson, two sisters-in-law, Billy Robertson and Joanne Black, and many nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her parents, two brothers, Wendell Robertson and Tommy Robertson, and two sisters, Shirley Purser and Ruth Mariner. In lieu of flowers, please donate to the American Parkinson Disease Association, Hope in Progress, apdaparkinson.org. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Edwin Barry Phillips, Jr. Artist and educator Barry Phillips the Elder, a.k.a. Edwin Barry Phillips, Jr., passed away at his home in Odessa Wednesday, December 2nd, at the age of 81. He was born August 22nd, 1939, in Ardmore, Oklahoma, to Ed and Olga McCain Phillips. He married Sharon Shaw in 1959, and they were husband and wife for 61 years. Barry is survived by his wife, Sharon, two sons, Edwin Barry Phillips III and Gary Shaw Phillips. He is also survived by his sister, Vicki Davis, daughter-in-laws, Mary Hansen and Cheryl Phillips, as well as two granddaughters and three step-grandchildren. Services will be held privately. The family requests that donations to the Odessa College Foundation, www.odessa.edu/community/OC-foundation, be made in his honor. Karen Lanice Hooper. Karen Lanice Hooper, 61, passed away at her home in Odessa Saturday, December 5th. She was born in Odessa November 26th, 1959, to Joanne Malaport Williams and the late Hollis Earl Williams. She is survived by her mother, Joanne Williams of Odessa, a son, Casey Hooper of Odessa, sister, Robin Williams Granberry of Odessa, two grandchildren, several nephews, and a great niece. No services will be held at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Jose Diaz Joe Duarte. Jose Joe Diaz Duarte, 71, of Odessa, passed away Tuesday, December 8th. from COVID-19. He was born August 23, 1949, in Pecos to Manuel Ruiz Duarte and Lina Diaz Duarte. He married Charlotte Mancha in 1969. He then married Brenda K. Sharp Kobernick in 2006. Joe Diaz Duarte was the youngest of 11 children and preceded in death by his parents, Manuel Ruiz Duarte of Pico Rivera, California, and Lina Diaz Duarte of Pecos, Texas, an infant sister, an infant son, three brothers, Agustin Diaz Duarte of Odessa, Manuel Ismael Diaz Duarte of Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Ramon Diaz Duarte of Apple Valley, California, and a sister, Juanita Diaz Duarte of Pico Rivera, California. He is survived by his wife, Brenda K. Sharp Kobernick Duarte, his son, David Rene Duarte Sr., and wife, Amanda, his son, Raymond Joel Duarte, stepchildren, Kenny and Amy Kobernick, Travis and Gina Kobernick, Derek Kobernick, and Melissa Covey, as well as many grandchildren and step-grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He was blessed with seven sisters, five of whom are still living: Mercedes Mercy Duarte Mata from Louisville and her family, Victoria Duarte Mata and husband Evaristo from Farmers Branch and her family, Avelina Duarte Nunez Franco and husband Ben from La Mirada, California and their family, Eulalia Lala Duarte Aguirre from Odessa and her family, Magdalena Duarte Almanza Cox from Odessa and her family, as well as many nieces, nephews, great nieces, and great nephews. Due to the current circumstances of COVID-19, there will be no services at this time. Patricia Marie Rush White. Patricia Patty White, 66, passed away December 5th after a brief illness. She was born December 3rd, 1954, in Odessa to James and Frankie Rush. She married Ronnie White. Patty is preceded in death by her husband Ronnie, her parents James and Frankie Rush, and sisters Kathy Rush and Debbie Litz. She is survived by her children, Father Rodney White of Midland, James White of Odessa, and Megan McLaren of Odessa, as well as four grandchildren. Recitation of the Rosary will be held at 5 p.m. Wednesday, December 16th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Mass of Christian Burial will be held at 1 p.m. Thursday, December 17th at St. Mary's Catholic Church with Bishop Michael Siss and Father Rodney White officiating. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Strict masking and social distancing protocols will be enforced at both events. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Alice LaRue Ford Moore. Alice LaRue Ford Moore passed away November 27th. She was born April 13th, 1939, in Seagraves to Walter Everett and Opal Ophelia Ford. She married Jim D. Moore in 1959, and they were married for 60 years. LaRue is preceded in death by her husband, her parents, two sisters, and two brothers. She is survived by her daughter Emily and husband Randy McDaniel, grandson Sam Hurt, granddaughter and wife Hallie and Jordan Hurt, granddaughter Jessica McDaniel, grandson and wife Jay and Noah McDaniel, and grandson Jeffrey McDaniel. She is also survived by four great-grandchildren, her sister Lois Coleman, a niece, and many, many more members of her extended family. There will be a memorial service later in the spring or summer when we can all celebrate together. Please make a donation to your favorite charity in her memory or to St. John's Episcopal School in her name. Arrangements are under the direction of Nallie Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Billy Miles Patterson. Billy Miles Patterson, 86, of Odessa, passed away Sunday, November 29th. He was born December 3rd, 1933, in Ranger, to the late Pearl Choate and Elzo Patterson. He married Barbara Payne in 1956. Bill is survived by his wife of 64 years, Barbara, daughter Cindy Cobb, son Willie Patterson and wife Julie, siblings Jim Patterson and wife Karen, Barbara Fullingham and husband Mick, Mike Patterson and wife Millie, Lana Chambers and husband Vic, sister-in-law Gloria Patterson, 5 grandchildren, 6 great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents and a brother, Gary Patterson. Graveside services will be held Monday, December 14th at 1 p.m. at the Rose Hill section of Ector County Cemetery. Michael O'Connor Curry. Michael O'Connor Curry, 58, of Kermit, passed away Friday, December 4th. He was born March 24th, 1962, in Houston, to Andrew and Judith Curry. He married Frances Grano in Marathon in 1990. Michael was preceded in death by his parents, Andrew and Judith Curry. He is survived by his wife, Frances of Kermit, daughter Amanda, and husband Joey DiMartino of San Antonio, sisters Andrea Johnson of Marathon, Mary Kay and husband David Wrench of Collinsville, Oklahoma, Terry and husband Joel Kruger of San Antonio, and brother Tommy and wife Alicia of Belleville. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Kermit ISD Angel Tree. Due to COVID restrictions, services will be live streamed on Imelda Hernandez Facebook December 19th at 1 p.m. with burial to follow in Marathon Cemetery. Death notices. Jerry May Shields Harvey. Jerry May Shields Harvey, 79, of Odessa, died Wednesday, December 9th. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. December 17th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Carolyn Kermickle. Carolyn Kermickle, 76, of Midland, died Wednesday, December 9th. A graveside service is scheduled for 12 p.m. December 14th at American Heritage Cemetery. Interment will take place Monday, December 14th. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Terry Lynn Russell. Terry Lynn Russell, 58, of Odessa, died Friday, December 11th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. DeLon Stanley. DeLon Stanley, 94, died Wednesday, November 25th. Services are pending with Nallie Picklin Welch Funeral Home of Big Spring. Billy Wayne Stanley. Billy Wayne Stanley, 84, of Odessa, died Wednesday, December 9th. A graveside service is scheduled for 3 p.m. December 14th at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Andy Hill officiating. Antonio Madrid Cadena. Antonio Madrid Cadena, 58, of Odessa, died Saturday, November 28th. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Monday, December 14th at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. The family has opted for cremation as an alternative means of burial. Pastor Hector Aguirre is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, December 14th. Counselors offer insights on COVID. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. As the pandemic continues, counselors inside and outside of Vector County Independent School District have noticed an increase in suicidal ideation, stress, and anxiety among children, parents, and the community. Christy McGuire, a counselor at Gonzales Elementary School, Anthony Garza, an SAS counselor at Nimitz Middle School, Mary Perry, a psychosocial coordinator for Permia Care, and Mark McQueen, clinical director for Centers for Children and Families, spoke during a panel discussion on ECISD Live Thursday night. The discussion was titled Winter Wellness. Garza said when students go to middle school, they expect to see their friends and go from class to class. The pandemic has disrupted that, and counselors have to do their best to help them adjust and give them resources so they can focus on their education. Perry said she has seen increased suicidal ideations. She said a lot of it has to do with the virus, the political environment, not being able to pay their bills, and not being able to pay rent. Superintendent Scott Murie said for several months, Hector County had the highest unemployment rate in the state at 13%. Now it is at 10%, and those rates create a lot of family stress. McQueen said he has seen a significant increase in anxiety from families and a number of both adults and children who have been able to manage those symptoms on their own before but need extra support now. McGuire said the role of a school counselor has changed because of the pandemic, but her campus supports her in letting her see her students. She said there is an increase in anxiety among the students and the parents. She tries to check in on the whole family and let them know the campus is a safe place. Garza said his job is to be a support for the campus, but also for the professional counselors at the school. Quote, our job is to really focus on emotional support, psychological support, psychoeducation. We are there to provide a band-aid for a lot of issues that come up in school, Garza said. He added that they provide coping skills, but don't do full-blown counseling. They offer referrals to other agencies and refer them to services that they may need. Garza said his job was simpler when students could just come to his office, but he makes himself available to virtual students as well. McGuire said signs of stress with younger children is their stomachs may start hurting or they have headaches. They may get frustrated more easily. She said she always recommends that parents check in with their children and ask how they're doing and if they need help with anything. She added that she is also available online to her students, and when she's on break, her phone is forwarded to her cell. Garza said he's noticed that students have had to develop a whole new kind of discipline for their schoolwork without the teacher or parents to motivate them. But he pointed out that a lot of college courses are offered completely online. Perry said she is seeing families with increased alcohol and drug use just based on the stress they are going through. She added that there seems to be an increase in family violence based on the inability to pay bills and make sure they can put food on the table. McQueen said Centers for Families and Children offers individual and family counseling, and they offer help from a secure virtual platform for those who may not want to come to the office. He noted that children are better at letting them know that they are stressed before adults notice it. Adults may find they are drinking more, losing interest in things they used to enjoy, and things that didn't make them irritable before now. One good thing is to ask families if they can identify things that are good about being together. During the holiday break, McGuire recommended being cognizant of how you're feeling, checking in with your children, and doing things with them. Garza said the break is a time for students to relax and forget about their worries. Perry said people should be patient with each other and noted that everyone is going through the same thing and may just be experiencing it in different ways. She said Permia Care offers mental health first aid services free to ECISD staff. If you notice changes in friends or family, ask them straight up if they plan to kill themselves. Perry said sometimes they just need someone to say they're paying attention and they're listening. McQueen said even without COVID, the cold months can be a dark time. Quote, one of the things lost in 2020 is just the natural rhythm and markers throughout the year. As much some of us fight against it, we do best when there is routine, McQueen said. He added that most people just need to know that you're listening, you care, and you have empathy for them. McQueen said you don't need to come up with a solution that fixes everything. McGuire said, be willing to ask the question, but more than anything, be willing to listen. Quote, you don't have to be the perfect answer, but ask and just be willing to listen, she said. Sometimes they just want to get it off their chest, she said. Garza said, sometimes neighbors or someone a family goes to church with can call the school and ask if that child can see a counselor. He said the school is going to be able to give them the resources that are necessary or refer them to another agency. As for words of wisdom, McGuire said everyone is going through the same thing, but you are not alone. She suggested slowing down and taking a couple of deep breaths. Garza said this will pass and we will eventually get through it. Quote, the best thing I can say, Perry said, is be gentle with yourself. We're going to make mistakes, and we learn from them. We have to try to figure out how to pick up the pieces and move on. Holiday safety. This was written by Carol Cates, the chief nursing officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. This year, we had a Thanksgiving, as I think many of you probably did, quietly at home with a minimal number of people. Normally, Thanksgiving at my house is a big event. We normally have lots of friends and family about on that day. I hope next year I will be able to have our big Thanksgiving, but at the same time, it was nice just having my immediate family around. One thing I didn't think about, however, was the leftovers. Even reducing the size of everything I normally do, I still had many more leftovers this year than ever before. Between the two, changing our routine because of COVID-19 and the leftovers we had to deal with, I have been thinking a great deal about holiday safety. The National Safety Council has multiple categories to consider with holiday safety. A big part of holiday safety is travel, especially car travel. Even with the pandemic, many people still travel on the holidays and roads can become dangerous. On New Year's Day of 2020, 163 people died on U.S. roads. Just a little over 2 weeks ago on Thanksgiving Day, an estimated 485 people died in car wrecks. And Christmas Day 2019, another 115 people died in cars. Driving under the influence was the cause in over one-third of those accidents. If you do decide to travel this holiday season, remember to have your car ready for winter and keep an emergency kit in your car. Get a good night's sleep before setting out so you are not driving drowsy. Plan your schedule to avoid heavy traffic whenever possible. Make sure everyone is wearing their seatbelt and avoid distracted driving. A good idea is to put your phone in the back seat. Practice defensive driving and plan for a sober driver if you may be in a situation where you are impaired. Think about decorating safety as well. Many holiday plants like mistletoe, holly berries, and amaryllis are poisonous and need to be kept away from children. Make sure artificial trees are fire resistant. If you have a live tree, make sure to keep it watered so it does not dry out. Keep trees away from heat sources and make sure they don't block exit routes. Keep ornaments that are breakable or have small parts away from the lower branches where small kids can reach them. Make sure lights are in good condition and that indoor lights are only used indoors and outdoor lights are only used outdoors. Turn off lights and decorations when you're asleep or away from the house. The National Safety Council also cautions to watch out for fire starters. 1/3 of house fires during the holiday season are related to decorations. Keep candles away from trees and other decorations. Make sure they are not in places where they can be knocked down or blown over, and make sure they are out of reach of children. Keep decorations away from fireplaces that are in use. Keep matches and other fire starters out of the reach of children. Use flameless candles whenever possible. Don't burn trees, wrapping paper, or wreaths in your fireplace. Use fireplace screens when you are using your fireplace. Never leave candles or fireplaces burning when you are asleep or away from home. Make sure your chimney and fireplace are cleaned at least once a year. If you decide to fry a turkey, make sure you are careful to follow every safety precaution. Turkey fryer-related fires have caused 154 deaths related to burns and $5.2 million of property damage in the last 15 years. The U.S. Fire Administration has guidelines for preventing turkey fryer fires on their website. Finally, remember those holiday leftovers. Food poisoning can be very serious. Make sure you wash your hands frequently when you are handling food. Keep raw meat away from fresh produce. Use separate cutting boards for raw and cooked meats. Use food thermometers to make sure meats are cooked to safe temperatures. Refrigerate leftovers within 2 hours of being served, and use or freeze any leftovers within 4 days. I hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. OPD makes arrests in stabbing. Odessa police have made an arrest in connection to a murder that occurred early Sunday morning. Joseph Grondahl, age 30, has been charged with murder, a first-degree felony. Natalie Lassiter, age 38, has been charged with hindering apprehension or prosecution, a third-degree felony, a news release said. On December 13th at approximately 12:28 a.m., Odessa Police and Odessa Fire Rescue responded to the 4300 block of North Dixie Boulevard in reference to a stabbing victim. Upon arrival, officers made contact with the victim, identified as a 35-year-old male. The victim was transported to a local hospital, but later was pronounced deceased by medical personnel, the release said. Investigation revealed that after a disturbance had occurred, Grondahl stabbed the 35-year-old male and fled the scene before police arrived. Based on the facts and circumstances presented during the investigation, a murder warrant was obtained for Grondahl and a hindering apprehension or prosecution warrant was obtained for Lassiter, the release said. Both Grondahl and Lassiter were charged and arrested accordingly and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. The investigation continues.
Obituary and death notices from the Odessa American, published Monday, December 14th, 2020. Alice LaRue Ford Moore. Alice LaRue Ford Moore, also known as Mrs. Moore to so many, passed away peacefully November 27th, 2020 from natural causes. She was born April 13th, 1939 in Seagraves, Texas, to Walter Everett and Opal Athelia Ford. She graduated from Kermit High School and in June of 1959 married the love of her life, Jim D. Moore, to whom she was married for more than 60 years. LaRue is preceded in death by her beloved husband, parents, two sisters, and two brothers. She is survived by her daughter, Emily, and her husband, Randy McDonnell, grandson, Sam Hurt, granddaughter and wife, Haley and Jordan Hurt, granddaughter, Jessica McDonnell, grandson and wife, Jay and Noah McDonnell, and grandson, Jeffrey McDonnell. Her little ones who gave her such joy are great-grandchildren, Kyler, Finn, Celia, and Kira. She is also survived by sister, Lois Coleman, niece, Quinn Henderson, and daughter, Bonnie, and many, many more members of her extended family, all of whom she loved deeply. In order to celebrate the life of our mom, Mimi, properly and safely, there will be a memorial service later in the spring, summer, when we can all celebrate together. In the meantime, if you would like to honor her, please make a donation to your favorite charity or to St. John's Episcopal School in her name. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices for Monday. Era Moselle Owens Woodall. Era Moselle Owens Woodall, 88 of Odessa, died Saturday, December 12, 2020 in Odessa. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. December 16, 2020 at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Dan Nicholas is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Antonio Madrid Cadena. Antonio Madrid Cadena, 58 of Odessa, died Saturday, November 28, 2020 in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Monday, December 14, 2020 at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel. At the family's request, cremation has been opted as the alternative means of burial. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Rudy Mireles Munoz. Rudy Mireles Munoz, 61 of Odessa, died Tuesday, November 24, 2020 in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. Tuesday, December 15, 2020 at St. Anthony's Catholic Church. Public viewing will be on Monday, December 14, 2020 at Martinez Funeral Home Chapel from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary will be at 7 p.m. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Low PSA level, not a cancer-free guarantee. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 72-year-old man with an enlarged prostate. My PSA has varied over the past several years between 2.8 and 3.5. I take Flomax. My primary doctor has noticed a nodule on my prostate. He recommends further evaluation by MRI with possible biopsy. What do you think? JL. Answer. A low prostate-specific antigen test, i.e. below 4, is good news, but it does not exclude prostate cancer with certainty. A palpable mass should be further evaluated so that you have more information and can make a more informed decision. If the MRI or ultrasound shows no abnormalities on the prostate, you have a good reassurance there is nothing wrong. If there is a nodule, then a biopsy can show not only whether it is cancer, but can give important prognostic information. A small cancer with no evidence of spread, low PSA, and especially with favorable characteristics on microscopic examination, does not need to be treated immediately. Men in this situation, which is quite common, are often followed closely, a strategy called active surveillance. However, if you are one of the unlucky ones to have a more aggressive form of prostate cancer, early treatment, often with surgery, could potentially be life-saving. The risk of MRI and biopsy is small, and you are likely to get important information, so I agree with your primary doctor.
Man lets special anniversary pass without any celebration. Dear Abby, for Monday, December 14th, 2020. Dear Abby, I've been married to my husband 25 years as of today. We've been a couple for 32 years. He has done absolutely nothing to commemorate this. I reminded him months ago to save for something because it was very important to me. My friends would have happily helped him do something. Every year, it's the same old nothing. He asked me to remind him, and I did, but it made no difference. Same with my birthday. Yes, we have been in better positions financially than now. But if something was important to him, he always saved for it. I have money put away we could have used, and he knew this, yet nothing. The only time he shows me any kind of emotion or love or sex is when he's drunk, but he swears he loves me. I don't suspect cheating. He doesn't care what he looks like when we go places. I always try to look my best. I'm at the end of my rope. This 25th anniversary really hurt me. He said we'll do something when we can. I can't take it anymore. I feel worthy of nothing, like I don't matter. What do I do? Anniversary sadness. Dear Anniversary Sadness, if the only time your husband shows you any kind of affectionate attention is when he is drunk, you have bigger problems than the fact that he forgets special occasions. Is this the way you want to spend the next 25 years of your life? Receiving gifts does not make a person worthy. You need to work on your level of self-esteem. As expensive as a celebration might have been, a gift you could both benefit from would be couples counseling. Dear Abby, I have a wonderful mother-in-law who recently turned 92. For the past 5 or so years, she has struggled with urinary incontinence and uses adult diapers. However, her urine really stinks. I don't think she changes her diaper often enough, and the smell is really strong throughout the day. I'm also afraid that by not changing often enough, she may get an infection. Her children refuse to discuss the issue with her, so nothing is being done to change the situation. I find myself distancing from her since I can't stand the smell. I have researched the topic and don't think there's anything that can be done to address the incontinence issue due to her age and other medical issues. However, I think if she drank more fluid so her urine wouldn't be so concentrated, the smell wouldn't be so bad. I have talked to her about drinking more water for other reasons, but she doesn't want to because then she would need to urinate more. I really love my mother-in-law, but I can't stand to be near her. I feel like I'm the only daughter-in-law and that any discussions should come from her children, but they don't want to bring it up with her. What can be done? Keeping my distance. Dear Keeping, has your mother-in-law seen a urologist and been told nothing can be done about her incontinence problem, or is she so embarrassed she hasn't seen one? Because her children refuse to discuss this with their mother, the ball is in your court. Please talk to her and urge her to see a doctor, because when people age, their sense of smell can diminish. She may not be aware that she has the problem you're describing. She does need to drink more water and change her diaper more often than she's doing. Her mental and physical health could depend on it, but she also needs to see a urologist. Horoscopes. Happy birthday for Monday, December 14th, 2020. Original, daring, and complex, you won't fit into a mold. Instead, you're a catalyst for change. You take a risk this year in producing individualist work your own way, and you succeed fantastically. Because you have a private world into which few gain admittance, if single, you don't commit to anyone this year. If attached, expect transformation and intensity with your partner, who's devoted. Cancer doesn't want you to break free. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 3 stars. A conservative approach is best regarding work today. Follow traditions, rules, and regulations. Career responsibilities need attention. Be patient. There are hurdles to overcome. Focus on balancing professional ambitions with release of stress. Tonight, honor the magic of time. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 4 stars. Be very aware of how the advice and influence of others impacts you today. Companions can exaggerate or be innocently misinformed. Resist high-pressure sales pitches. You can win at games of all kinds now. Tonight, shake free and take a long, soothing herbal soak. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 3 stars. Today promises changes in your social circle. Companions are in a cycle of change. Graciously accept the fact that some friends may develop new priorities. Legal matters need careful attention, but should eventually work out in your favor. Tonight, intimate date night. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Health and fitness will be important considerations today. Learn all you can about preventative medicine. Pay attention to what makes you feel well or ill. A magical and very exceptional animal companion can enter your life. Tonight, make a nutritious dinner. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 5 stars. The magnificent and self-reliant lion follows her own path with confidence and doesn't look back at those trailing behind. There's great evolution coupled with life-changing experiences as you follow the quest for the perfect romance. Tonight, the evening brings delightful invitations and an admirer. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 4 stars. It is time to define your priorities. Focus on actions you can take to change your surroundings for the better. A rather forceful individual seems annoying, but may actually have your best interests at heart. Tonight, an old obstacle will melt away, leaving you relieved. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 5 stars. Your judgment is good and your mind is alert today. It's a good time to attend to transportation needs or even purchase a new method of transportation. Conversations provide new and interesting perspectives. Tonight, those closest to you long to explore and grow. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 3 stars. Discriminate in expressing generosity today. You will be particularly aware of the plights and problems of those less fortunate. Check to make certain that your donations of money or supplies go where they are most needed. Tonight, a prosperity ritual could help turn the tide. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 5 stars. You are super self-confident today and will pursue that which you believe in regardless of the consequences. To those who don't understand you, you can appear selfish. Try to explain your own individual philosophy so that it is clear. Tonight, celebrate yourself. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 5 stars. To get today begins on an introspective note. You will prefer to spend time away from people. It is a good time to perfect a meditation technique. Write emails, make future travel plans, and arrange meetings, all without having to talk too much. Tonight, relax by yourself. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 5 stars. Today favors networking. A new social circle is developing for you. There are rewards if you become active in organizations. This includes community service committees and political campaigns. Tonight, you'll be highly visible among professional associates. Make wise choices. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 5 stars. Sensible choices build your good reputation today. Old barriers can be overcome, and you can manifest a cherished wish through sheer effort. You'll be especially strong and influential. Career matters will be highly competitive. Keep stress under control. Tonight, catch up with an elderly relative.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.